at Premier High School.
We are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal.
Stay cool this summer with AC Pro and O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get a $15 O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card after mail-in rebate with the purchase of select AC Pro ready-to-use refrigerant products that include a hose and gauge. Beat the heat before you hit the road with AC Pro at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I wanted to just talk really quickly about generational spirits when it comes to children being afflicted. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Father, I ask that just whatever it was that you have brought me to understand that is going to be helpful to any of my sisters listening, I just pray that it is revealed to them and that there is healing and deliverance in their situation. Bind every spirit that come against us in the name of Jesus. And I ask all these things to you, Father, your Son, Jesus' name.
I have seen that this is true. I had received that in prayer with my son, and then another sister confirmed it, that it was generational. And I did remit the sins and confess and go up the, you know, cleanse our family tree with the blood. But just bear with me here mercifully for a moment. What I got in prayer, and this may, I don't know if this will make sense, but I'm just going to share with you in truth what I got in prayer, was that the sins were remitted, but the Lord was going to leave the spirit for a measure of time until his work was perfected in both me and my son. He wanted it to remain so that I could learn how to be more patient and sow more perfectly. And then he wants my son to develop the heart of a warrior. I can pick up on it sometimes, still there. That's why I say that the Lord is delivering my son. Everything that I talked about brought him, thankfully, you know, being led of the Spirit to the point where he is now, because prior to that, there would be times where he just could not comprehend or express himself at all. And it was very, very painful. And now he can, thankfully, and he communicates with us and things like that. But there is still a measure of it. And I can attest to this from having been delivered of a different generational devil. It was a devil of gluttony. I was delivered of it. I actually underwent deliverance. The thing came out of me. This is different. Seems like the thing is oppressing him outwardly. But, that particular, devil, after it did actually come out of me, the Lord left it, about me, I guess you could say, oppressing me for a measure of time to learn how to fight. And then, the wisdom of an elder sister, it was so funny because she told me it was generational. It was so obvious it was generational, but I believe the Lord left me blind to this because he didn't want me to realize that and confess it until it was, until I had fought it outwardly for a season so that I could be perfected in that area. And then once she told me that, and then it was like the lights came on, I was like, duh, of course it is. Because it was so, but I believe that it was of the Lord to keep me blind for a season to learn, so I can learn how to fight. I did confess, you know, and then it departed from me. But during that season, he taught me how to just war perfectly and have that victory. So that's what understanding I have on generational spirits, concerning this, but I pray that that makes sense. But I will say this, from what I understand about generational spirits, is that it's a two-part thing. There is the confession and repentance of you know, and remission of sins and cleansing of the tree by the blood of Jesus, but it's also the best way that I'm just sharing what I understand, and there's different types of spirits too, so it's not necessarily one approach for everything, but I'm just sharing with you what I have seen with generational spirits, that there is a the highest, let me put it this way, having watched and learned, I watched a eldest person in a family that had a generational spirit, devil, okay, teach the younger generations to sin and open their doors. I pray I'm explaining that properly. So basically, there was a spirit and there was a thing amongst the family tree, but then there was also the active instruction of sin and opening doors. So I would watch the eldest in a family tree basically just teach the younger ones to sin and open their doors to that spirit. I pray I'm explaining that properly. For example, if there's a family with a generational spirit of addiction, and there's a root of bitterness that is the door opening for that, then you'll see the eldest just constantly sort of preach bitterness, in all honesty. And then the younger generation also receives the root of bitterness. And then the root of bitterness leads to turning to self-medication, because since there's no forgiveness and that root of bitterness is there, then it torments the person and they turn to self-medicating, and then they continually do it, then their doors open, then they then obtain that same generational spirit. Pray I'm explaining that well. So if there is a generational spirit, I would just be mindful of these doors and root causes, because you can remit the sins and, you know, and everything like that. But if, and it's sort of like the spirit can leave like the house of your family tree, so to speak. But if the door is still open and the parent or family member is still practicing the sin that is that opening and gateway for that devil to re-enter, you're still going to have problems. Okay. So I would just be aware that it's not just, you know, it's two part, it's the confession, but you know, faith produces works. If you really believe that what happened was wrong and you really don't want to have anything to do with that, then you really will also follow through with removing any traces of it from your life. Okay. Be it, there can be things about the house, you know, family heirlooms and stuff like that. But then there can also be inwardly family heirlooms that are spiritual sin, okay, pride, unforgiveness, you know, like I talked about, bitterness, self-pity, idolatry, that was mine, food idolatry, that's the root, right, of which this devil was, that was the door opening, right, going to food for comfort, food idolatry, that had to go, okay, things like that. So I pray that I'm being thorough in explaining what I have seen. Like I said, I don't know, each case is different, but from what I have seen. And then just on a side note, with children, you know, if what I'm saying with my personal case with the home, my home and our son, if that is clicking in any way, shape or form, like you're getting that, even though you're praying, the Lord is leaving it, for a season, you know, just be prayerful and understand that our children are going to see a very wicked generation. Okay. There are very evil times approaching. Okay. Very evil. Okay. And our children will have to learn how to discern and overcome. Okay. And so just be mindful and prayerful when the Lord is leading you. And if he is slowing something down, and if he is leaving something and wanting you to fight, okay, and teach your children how to fight and be overcomers, you know, just be aware of that and receive it and know that He loves us and He's taking care of us. And He may be preparing you or your child for a time down the road where this will be necessary. Okay. So I pray that that's helpful. And then the scripture for this is just, Adam, being descendants of Adam, all of us are generationally cursed. Ultimately to death, unless we, eternal, actual physical death and then eternal, damnation, unless we, get saved by the blood of Jesus. It's just kind of the same basic principle. And all of us are slaves to sin until we get saved. So, perfectly that explains it well. But it's the same basic principle, in terms of victory, and overcoming, for example, this generational curse, of being a slave to sin and then ultimately, death. It's the same thing, through Christ Jesus, we're overcomers, like it says in Romans, oh death, where art thou sting? Because we're going to live eternally. And then in terms of being a slave to sin, we overcome, our flesh by the blood. But there is still that same, at least in what I've seen in terms of like a generational spirit, was I still had to make war against it. Just like, for example, I can, profess, right, to be a believer in Christ, and ask to be born again, but I'm still going to have a lifetime of overcoming and crucifying my flesh. So it's not just like a one-time thing. I have to keep my faith all the way until the end, so it's the same kind of basic principle. So from what I've seen anyways, with generational spirits, it's the cleansing of the family tree, but then also to, making war against it and being aware that it, you want to keep those doors shut, so that it doesn't return. For example, with like my spirit that the Lord cast out of me of gluttony, like I know I'm never going to eat the same, and I have to be guarded against that, now over time, it's not a issue. Thankfully, because I have victory, so I don't struggle with it anymore, but at the same time, I'm not going to go back and start doing things that I knew, that the Lord revealed to me were not right. Things I need to stay away from and do. I'm not going to go back and play with that stuff because then I'm going to open myself up to a whole nother battle. So I pray I'm explaining that well. Just like the generational curse of Adam, for example, being a slave to sin, we are delivered by the blood, but we also have to, be guarded and crucify our flesh continually. Same basic principle, at least what I see in generational spirits. It is a cleansing of the tree, but then it's also, being guarded and making war against that devil as well. But perfectly, that's helpful. That's what I have in terms of what I learned. The Lord instructed me on the generational aspect of it. But like I said, I'm confessing humbly. I don't fully understand what's going on entirely because, like I said, my son was vaccinated. And so I don't, because the Lord led me to do other things and it worked. So be merciful with me. I'm praying that it's helpful because, like I said, it worked and our son's coming around. The other things the Lord led me to do. So it's quite possible that that there's just more to it, more aspects. It could be possibly a healing, with the mind, if there was something with the vaccinations. I don't know. I confess, I don't know. Be merciful with me. I just know what He told me to do, and it worked, and it's continuing to work. And so there may be more things going on, in terms of the cause of these things that, are going on with our children. But something else that, the other scripture that I would get from the Lord, is because iniquity will abound, the love of many will grow cold. That there is just also too a lot of sin and evil in the world, and it's going to increase, right, as time passes, to the rise of the Antichrist. And then another scripture too that He brings to my mind is that He will help them with a little help, but there will be but many will be tried, right? And that basically what I understand is just the world is evil. And when you have a rise of sin, the wages of sin is death, scripture says. So when there's just more sin, even if, you know, we obviously want to be aware, of course, and stay away from sin ourselves. And, you know, for example, with the generational curses and then being looking for footholds in our own lives where this thing may have access, you know, we want to be squared away ourselves. But even if we're not squared away ourselves, even if we are squared away ourselves and we are in obedience, it still is iniquity is abounding. And so there is just evil in the world. And as the evil increases, you know, like he says, love of many will grow cold. It'll try us. What's on the inside? You know, we want to come forth like gold, you know, and just maintain our absolute devotion to the Lord and faith and be aware that evil times, that things just happen. That sin is just increasing on the earth. And then as that happens, then suffering increases on the earth, you know? So like I said, I don't fully understand, but that's what the Lord, has helped me to understand, that sometimes it's just basically, there's just evil in the world. And as it comes, right, we overcome it by faith and turn to the Lord and he pulls us through, and delivers us. But it sometimes it just has nothing to do with us. I hope I'm explaining that properly. But it could be a multitude of things. But we want to have all of our boxes checked. But I guess I'm just trying to explain that even if all your boxes are checked, it could just simply be due to the evil in the world. And if that's the case, then we just keep turning to the Lord. We just keep turning to him, you know, and he takes care of us. And then also too, but in relation to generational spirits, there are two scriptures that you may, if you are Jewish, that you may want to take a look at. It's when Jesus is talking to the Jews, and he talks about how a spirit, I'll put the scriptures at the bottom, when an unclean spirit leaves a man, that it walks about, and then it comes back with seven worse spirits, and then the state of that person is worse than it was before. And he says specifically, so will it be with this generation. And at that point, he is talking to the Jews. And then also too, there's a scripture where they are at the crucifixion when they're talking to Pilate. The Jews say, let his blood be on us and on the and on our children. Okay, so you may want to be prayerful and look at those scriptures and be aware. Just like it says in Galatians, you know, Romans, right? We don't boast against the branch, those who are saved, you know, by the blood of Jesus, the Gentiles. And, you know, we don't look at the Jews and, you know, boast against the branch. Okay, we don't want to be lifted up in pride against them. But we also, too, want to be very careful and not believe that we're saved by anything else by the blood of Jesus. So be aware of, like, this is a different subject. I'm trying to stay on track, but there is sort of like this deception that, you know, you see believers who are Christians who, you know, are supposed to be following after the blood of Jesus and they're following after Judaism. Very dangerous. Okay. Because the Jews don't believe according to, it's John, right? It's a book of John. I'll put the scriptures at the bottom, but where he says very clearly that this is the spirit of Antichrist. I think it's 2 John, right? Anybody who does not believe that Christ is the Messiah, okay? If they believe in a different Messiah, this is the spirit of Antichrist, okay? And that's the biblical definition, the spirit of Antichrist. And the Jews, who it's just very one or the other. Either they believe that Jesus is the Christ or they don't. And so if they don't, then they're waiting for another Christ. Then that's the spirit of Antichrist. Okay. So don't get confused and be aware of that. I don't want to get off the subject here, but just, you know, go to the Lord in prayer. And if you are Jewish or you think that might be upon your family tree, be aware of the remittance of sins and these sort of things, but then also to be aware, make sure you're not turning aside after anything other than the blood of Jesus. Okay. Just be aware of things like that.
And when I say turning, aside from the blood inwardly, what I'm talking about is, Galatians is a good book. Where the Apostle Paul talks about starting off, you know, by faith, being saved by faith, and then turning off to the works of the law. And really, it's an inward thing where you're putting your trust for righteousness or salvation, basically what makes you holy, into something that you're doing versus the blood of Jesus alone. Okay, we have works, but our works are produced by faith, this book of James. So basically we get saved, you know, when we believe, you know, in the salvation and through Jesus Christ. And we have our righteousness through him. And it's through our relationship with him that then now we bear fruit. And that's from the Spirit. Once we receive the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit within us produces these good works. And things like that. But it's not, it's kind of like the cart before the horse type of a thing, you know. It's, you know, the horse goes first and then the cart type of thing. It's the salvation through Jesus Christ and the relationship with him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then our works are made manifest versus thinking that we're righteous through our works. So I pray I'm explaining that properly in terms of, you know, turning aside from anything other than the blood. And really only, you know, a person knows that inwardly. But it's inwardly, what do you believe? Why do you believe you're going to heaven? If you believe it's anything that you do or things like that versus, you know, the sacrifice Jesus made and entering the gates of heaven through him and what he did, and you're just grateful. And now, you know, all your works are just through the power of the Holy Spirit type of a thing. But inwardly, you're just humble and grateful to enter heaven by God's mercy versus inwardly believing that you would actually have a right to stand in front of the throne of God and say, I did this and I did that. So now I have the right to go to heaven type of a thing. I hope that's a good explanation prayerfully, because we have nothing to stand upon. It's Ephesians, right? We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. We have no reason to be able to stand in front of the throne of God and say, I did this, so now I go to heaven. Don't trust in the blood, right? And that's it. That's the only thing, you know, humbly grateful to enter the gates of heaven through what Jesus did for us. But then also at the same time, scripture says, let no man judge you in terms of like keeping of holidays and things like that. These things which talks about that we do unto the Lord. When brother keeps a holiday and he's doing it, is unto the Lord. Another brother doesn't. So that's personal in terms of between, you know, a believer and Christ. Okay. And if they want to keep like, you know, certain holidays and things like that from the Old Testament, but just inwardly being aware, that that's something that you're doing, by faith, you know, because you believe that the Lord wants you to, you know, or is it an act of love for him or something like that, versus it being something you're trusting in for, your salvation. They're two different things. I pray I'm explaining that well, but prayerfully I can explain this properly. Everything that I talked about before, brought him from a place of being blocked in his comprehension and his communication. He just couldn't understand when I'd be talking to him and express himself. It would just be very hindered. And then the fixating on things intensely, and then the sort of very abnormal reactions to things and hitting himself and things like that. The Lord has fixed that. There's still certain areas where he's working with him, which I think, like I said already, it may be simply because he's using this thing, allowing it to oppress him, for a season to perfect both me and him.
because we both need work, of course, to perfect that patience and overcoming. So I pray I'm explaining that well. Because it doesn't, the Apostle Paul talks about that too. He says that, that there was sent, I think he says a servant of Satan to buffet him, which means like to hit and to trouble him. And then the Lord says that, it has to remain, because, his strength is made perfect in Paul's, Apostle Paul's weakness. Because it wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, same thing it says in scripture, that if Satan had known that when he crucified Jesus, what was going to come about, that he didn't, you know, he didn't know he was coming at him for evil. And then the Lord turned around and made this, you know, through the resurrection, freedom for all of us. So, it wouldn't surprise me that Satan comes with this attack on a generation of children, you know, through all these different things, whatever it may be it the vaccinations or, just something else, or the generational, spirits, whatever it is, you know, it wouldn't, but either way, it wouldn't surprise me for one second that, you know, here comes Satan trying to afflict a whole generation of children with these things. And then, you know, but it turns around and he's spoiled. He's caught in his own snare, to where this generation of, children overcome, you know, by the blood. And then boom, you got a generation of intense warriors and soldiers. Okay. Because they've already learned at an early age how to fight. Because I see that fruit with our son already. He does have that intense, you know, sort of mindset. He says he wants to go and fight Halloween, you know, and things like that. Like, he hates certain things, you know, that are evil. So I can see, you know, the Lord's working in things. Because it was, I did hear that from an elder sister, that with generational spirits, they may remain sort of dormant or mild until one person steps out and serves God. Then they kind of hit that person up really hard, which makes sense, because of course that person is now in opposition to that spirit, so they would be subject to, you know, sort of spiritual attacks, persecution, you know. But either way, nothing is outside the power of God. So I am just really thankful, because talking about this, I just have to glorify the Lord. Because talking about this, it's easy, you know, which I am sorry. It's easy to forget, because the Lord has brought our son a long way from where he was. Talking about it, I kind of forget that he was afflicted like that, and how difficult that was. But he's much better now, and the Lord has brought him very far, for which I am exceedingly grateful. So I just pray that everything I'm sharing, because I really, you know, there's certain areas where I confess where I'm like, okay, I've got, you know, I really understand what's going on with this, and so then I share and try and help and things like that. But on this one, it's just sort of like, I know what the Lord told me to do, I did it, and it worked, you know. And here you go. I pray it's helpful. But in terms of like the overall cause and source and things like that, I'm still praying for more understanding on it. Because it doesn't, just from what I'm seeing, it doesn't really seem to be like, it seems like there's a couple of things, at least with our son. Like there's, it's coming from different areas. Like there's more than one root issue. But like I said, I'm still perfectly waiting for more understanding on that. But I just want to share what the Lord did lead me to do, and how it was helpful, in case it may be helpful to others. And then on a side note, something that I want to share that I pray may be helpful to any of my sisters listening. And just please prayerfully bear with me on this, because it's hard to explain things in the spirit. But there's a lot of suffering going on in the body of Christ, a lot of trials. And like, we always want to be mindful, okay, of obviously things like open doors, such as sin, and so on and so forth, because these bring about trials on their own just to chasten us and make us obedient. But I'm not really talking so much about that. I'm talking about if you are, you know, you're doing your best to walk with the Lord, but it just seems like things are being snatched from you or torn down. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is a good book. The beginning portion talks about times and seasons. We have hard times ahead. The Bible, you know, talks about this. I know a lot of people believe we're not going to be here for the roads ahead, but for those who have had this revealed to them and they see and they're preparing, but you're going through hard times and don't really understand what's going on, I pray that this can be helpful. It seems like the Lord is pulling things of the flesh out of people's lives, okay? Things like relationships, jobs, I don't know, just any homes, just a lot of just removal of things where it seems like things are just crumbling, under, you know, crumbling under and falling apart in people's lives, and they're struggling and not really understanding what's going on. And I just pray this will be helpful. We have a hard time down the line, very, 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 very difficult. And I've seen the Lord doing this in my life already, where there's things in my life. See, each of us are saved, right? Individually, okay? We become born again, born of the Spirit, us, right? Us. But Scripture talks about last group in the parable of the sower, right? And the last group, he says, bears fruit. I think, I can't remember the numbers, but different numbers, right? Some, you know, some less than others, and some bear fruit abundantly, okay? And there's areas in our lives that we have basically, I don't know how to explain it, is sort of pulled through the flood by faith, okay? Where there's things that are not necessarily evil, okay, or sinful, but they're just the works of our own hands versus the work of God. I hope I'm explaining this properly. Please be patient, bear with me. Areas where, you know, there's things in our lives where we made it happen, I guess is the only way I can explain it. It's the work of our own hands, okay, versus God doing it in our lives, where it's a full-blown work of the Spirit, okay? And they work differently, okay? Because the things that are built of our own hands, of the flesh, things that we made happen in our lives, they have to be sustained and held up by our own hands as well, okay? Versus the things of the Spirit that we pulled through by faith, that we were patient on, for example, and were just granted to us, and we pursued them by faith rather than making them happen ourselves, okay? I'm not talking about a salvation issue here, okay? Because you can be a saved person, you know, and you have, you know, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but there's just areas of your life where, you know, you made this thing happen, on your own. You just went out and did it versus humbling yourself and waiting and praying for God to do it for you, okay? And what happens is that in the Spirit, they're different. The things that, in your life, okay, you see this. Where they if you in the book of Leviticus, things are passed through the water and cleansed, okay? And I think too, there's certain things, I'll put the scripture at the bottom, but there's certain things where the children of Israel would like cleanse stuff, okay? It's kind of the same basic principle where you're saved, right? You came through the flood, you have gone under the water and come up, like it says in scripture, okay? Through the, baptism, the old man goes under, new man comes up. Okay. So you, okay. Cause I want to make that clear. I'm not talking about salvation for a person. I'm talking about our lives here. Okay. And, then there's things that you've done through that also, maybe not knowing, but you've also done that with in areas of your life by faith, okay, where it went through a trial, okay, and it was like this really hard time in this particular area of your house, okay, your area of your life, okay, and it can be, I mean, it's hard because I don't want to limit, because this can apply to different things. It can be relationships, you know, finances, health, I don't know, just different things, okay, where you went through a trial and you overcame by faith. And if you look at those certain areas where you overcame by faith, they just run differently, okay? They're just sustained by the power of God because they passed through that trial. They passed through the flood, and now they're just maintained by the Spirit. And you just sort of, like, God just keeps it going for you. You know what I mean? I hope I'm explaining this properly. Then there's those areas where you did this and you made it happen. And like I said, it's not necessarily like some sort of, you know, evil, wicked thing. It's just carnal. Okay. It's just carnal. It's the work of your own hands. Okay. And what I've seen in my life, and I'm seeing in other people's lives, is that these carnal things are falling apart, and they're creating these trials for people. And this is just what I'm just sharing this because I pray that this will be helpful. This is what I saw in my own walk, where it was like, okay, sort of the garden of my life, right? Because scripture talks a lot about this, about sowing and reaping, right? The areas in my life that were the work of my own hands, that were sown in the flesh, okay, and have come up, the Lord has just sort of handed over to Satan. And let him come and tear it down and destroy it so that I'll pursue that same thing by faith. Hope I'm explaining this properly. And the reason why is because down the line, that may have been fine for a certain portion of time, but down the line with where we're headed, everything that's of the flesh is corrupted, okay? And subject to cursing. And it's just, it doesn't work the way the things that have been that are of the Spirit work. They're different. And the thing is that with where we're heading, this is what I've seen in my own walk, okay? And I think I'm seeing it with other people as well, is that those things that are of the flesh, that are sort of, were done by the work of my own hands, the Lord has allowed Satan to come and sort of lay claim upon it and destroy it so that I'll pursue the exact same thing by faith. And let it be pulled through the flood, sort of raised from the dead. He's let it die, okay, and become destroyed. Because with where we're headed, okay, and with what's going on here in the United States, and just what Scripture warns about, okay, with these hard times, is he's focused on us being strong in the inner man, and he's focused on us long term doing well, okay, and finishing all the way until the end. And these things that are subject, because they are of the flesh, okay, will become a hindrance to us, okay. They're going to be problems, and they're going to be distractions when we really, in a time, need to be focused and strong in the Spirit, okay, and focused on Zion and moving forward, okay, and enduring all the way until the end. So if it seems like the Lord is yanking things and there's something going on and you're just like, what is going on? Be aware that he may be doing this for your own good, pulling things from you, sort of letting Satan have claim to whatever is of the flesh so that it's destroyed, and then urging you to move forward by faith, okay, and pursue that same thing. And it's going to be hard, okay? Every time the Lord has done this with me, it's been very painful, okay? You die, okay? You die in the process, okay? That's what Scripture says. Apostle Paul says, I die daily, okay? And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you know, you must take up your cross daily. You know, it was painful. And in these areas, I died in the process, okay? Which is good. We need to die. The flesh is not good, okay? It needs to be crucified daily. It needs to die. But as I move forward and have seen the Lord raise these things from the dead, once I finish the trial and get through to the other side, it's his Spirit that sustains it. So I'm now free. I'm not a captive anymore of having to maintain and sustain this area of my life. God does it, okay? It's all him. And my mind is now free to focus on things of the Spirit. I hope I'm explaining that properly. Okay, I'm not distracted, I'm not turning aside, I'm not laboring for something to be maintained. I'm simply, it's in God's hands, and He consistently and perfectly just sustains it, okay? It's not that attacks don't come, but it's defeated, okay, by the Spirit versus me having to hold things together. So if you're seeing this in your life, and like I said, I pray that I explain that properly because it's kind of a... It's hard, like I said, to explain sometimes things in the Spirit. But if you see this going on and the Holy Spirit is urging you to keep going by faith, do it, okay? Don't doubt, okay? And very important, don't take shortcuts, okay? Don't take the golden calf. Wait, you know, for the real thing to come down from the mountain, okay? Wait for the Lord to be revealed in your trials. Wait for Christ to be revealed in your trials, okay? Wait for Him to pull you through versus trying to fix it yourself, because you're going to find yourself in the same trial again and again and again, because the Lord is doing this for our own good, because He wants us, okay? He wants to fix things and prepare us for the road that's coming down the line. So basically, the Lord is doing this work in your life. If you can endure all the way into the end of that trial and see it through to the other side, then that area of your life will be transformed, and it'll be upheld by the Spirit, because it'll be a work of faith, and it'll be and it'll alleviate you in that area. So, and you'll be more focused, be able to, you know, be more free to focus on the things of God. So I pray I explain that well.
Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Father, I ask that for all of my sisters that are dealing with this affliction with their children, that there's healing and deliverance and wisdom and understanding on what they are supposed to do, and that they are strengthened by Your grace and power to do it perfectly. And I also ask that all of us as a church endure all the way until the end, and that we and our children never ever take the mark of the beast. I ask all these things in Your Father and Your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 29. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that Jeconiah the king and the queen, and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. By the hand of Elasa the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah king of Judah sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, saying,
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word towards you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword, with the famine, and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, and an astonishment, and an hissing, and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them. Because they have not hearkened to my word, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab, the son of Kolaiah, and of Zedekiah, the son of Maaseiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah which are in Babylon, saying, The Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they have committed villainy in Israel, and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord. Thus shalt thou also speak to Shemaiah the Nehelamite, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, Because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah the priest, and to all the priests, saying,
The Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Lord. For every man that is mad, and maketh himself a prophet, that thou shouldest put him in prison and in the stocks. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? For therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, This captivity is long. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them.
And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying,
Send to all them of the captivity, saying,
Thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, Because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord.
At Premier High School, we are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal